Swami was an impersonalist when he was born. One of the qualities is Krishna's compassionate nature. When this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam is so famous, Kamba Dayalum Sharanam Brajema. Who is there in this whole creation who can be considered to be more compassionate than Lord Krishna, who offered the post of a nurse for someone who came to kill him? Actually, Krishna's compassionate nature is manifested in so many ways. Like in Vrindavan, Krishna protects the cows and calves from the torrential rain and freezing cold created by Indra. And Krishna saves his coward boyfriends by swallowing the forest fire in the forest when they take shelter of him. Also, Krishna comforts the heart of his mother Yashoda by being very sweet in talking to her. And Krishna also shows compassion to gopis by reappearing in the midst of them and dries up their tears. In fact, it is said, just as every one of us is a person, Krishna is also a person. When Bhishma Pitama was lying in that pitiable condition on the arrow bed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna broke into tears when he came to see Bhishma Pitama. So in this way, Krishna's compassionate nature is explained in the scriptures. And this compassionate nature of Krishna can melt the heart of anyone. But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is not easily approachable by ordinary living entities. So Krishna's compassionate manifestation is Srimati Radharani, his pleasure potency. And Srila Prabhupada writes Nectar of Devotion. The devotees take shelter of Srimati Radharani with the understanding that Radharani, being the greatest compassionate manifestation of Krishna, can help us approach Krishna. So sometimes these kind of great sublime truths about Krishna's nature, even after hearing, doesn't penetrate the hard heart of the conditioned souls. Why? Because we don't feel immediate relevance to our sense gratification program when we hear the glories of Krishna. We can bring down Krishna's compassion to an even more grass level. If I cannot get air for a few moments to breathe, I will die. Isn't it? So Krishna is supplying me air. And if I cannot drink water for one full day, like very soon, we'll be experiencing that in Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi, after a few months. So then we can understand the value of water. How much the mouth dries up. You feel I'm going to die. Isn't it? And if we don't get grains for a few days, one day, Ekadashi day, we don't get grains. Can realize how much we feel bad. So Krishna is supplying us water, air, and food, despite knowing that we have our independent program to discard him and enjoy independent of him. In fact, compete with him and lord over this material world. So that is certainly a very great manifestation of compassion. Like imagine if somebody says, give me some money, I will bring truckload of people to make anti-propaganda against you. How many of us will give money? We may not be able to tolerate 1% talking ill of us. And imagine having hundreds and thousands of people coming in lorries and blaspheming you. For that, who will fund that program? And Krishna is doing that. So that is his greatest compassion. So this famous verse, Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste. So this is a very wonderful prayer. O Krishna, O ocean of mercy, O friend of the fallen, O master of the gopas, and the attractor of the gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani, please be kind upon me. So this is a very wonderful prayer. to attract the attention of compassionate Krishna. So the shastras abound with pastimes of Krishna's compassionate nature. And it is very important for devotee to understand this particular nature of Krishna and develop a great loving attraction for him. Because I was just remembering the other day when Bhakti Deer Damodar Maharaj came in the Brahmachari class, he gave one full class on offering obeisances. And he was telling us, because you are not offering obeisances, you are not getting mercy. He was saying. He was very strong. There are so many people who may just come and glorify our temple and go, which anybody can do. Because that's the nature of Vaishnavas. But for someone to honestly tell us where we need to improve, that really takes a kind heart and a well-wishing heart. So he said, you are not touching your head to the ground, he said. And after that he was also telling, even if you touch your head to the ground, that is not enough. You have to keep the picture of the person to whom you are offering that dandavat in your heart, in your mind. You have to remember that person and then you should offer the obeisances to him. And it is not enough to keep the person's picture in your heart and mind while simply bowing down your head. You have to recite the mantra. Like, you know, in India, in the Brahmana families, it's a common practice. Abhivadan, they call it. If you meet some elderly person, you know, they will touch their ears with their two hands and then they are supposed to chant the whole recitation of Abhivadan, we call it, which is actually your one has to tell the gotra in which one is born, family lineage in which one is coming, and then one will offer obeisances. There it is that one should chant loudly so that the other person can hear what you are saying. Similarly, when you offer obeisances in front of the spiritual master or Prabhupada, one is not supposed to silently recite in the mind. One is supposed to loudly recite. Do you know that? I read it in one of the Vaishnava literatures. So whenever I meet my spiritual master, I loudly chant. Prabhupada also used to say, chant loudly. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamin. Why it is said loudly we should chant? Because our mind is so devilish. When you bow down and silently chant, mind will go somewhere else. And the mind will make you forget that you are offering obeisances. You completely forget. And then we may not even know what we just did. How many of us have experienced, we do Gayatri. When we do Gayatri, after reciting one or two Gayatris, then your mind goes elsewhere and you forget what you are doing. Some people take 10-12 minutes for Gayatri. One of the reasons is that they are not attentive, unconscious. So Prabhupada used to move his lips while chanting Gayatri. Many Prabhupada disciples have observed Prabhupada. Although it is not appreciated in the scriptures, while chanting Gayatri, we are not even supposed to chant or loudly recite anything. We are supposed to chant in the mind. But Prabhupada wanted to set an example for his followers that these Kali Yuga guys, if they chant in the mind, they'll go to sleep. So that is why he moved his lips and showed. So the consciousness is very important. So that day we learned, and that day after the class was over, everyone bowed down and said, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, very, very attentively. That was the last day they chanted. Again, morning when we are at Narsingh Arati is over, we are offering obeisances and that fellow is immediately announcing the scores. See, how quickly we become unconscious in this world, like dead stones who have no emotions. So, emotion is not just a sentimentalism with which you cry, you know, when you don't get sweet rice or something. You know? Actually, the real meaning of emotion is emotion towards Krishna. Emotion towards, this kind of emotion is real emotion. After hearing that good instruction from the great Vaishnava, why we cannot remember it? Why we become forgetful like animals? Animals, they cannot remember. Animals, you beat them with a stone, they go back again, they come back. You have seen the cow, every day in the market yard you will find. He puts his mouth in the cabbage gadi and he eats it and he gets beating with a stick. And he will take his eyes away and he will eat and go. And again next day he will come. He will do the same thing. Same old thing, no difference only. So, if you want not to be counted amongst animals, then we are supposed to be awakened. At least after hearing the instruction, we are supposed to remember it and follow it in our life. It's very important. Same thing with Krishna's compassionate nature. Unless, especially for brahmacharis, if a brahmachari cannot contemplate in his mind, He said, when you are worshipping Tulasi Maharani, she is standing here very much. Vrindavaneshwari. Have you seen the deity of Vrindavaneshwari in Kamyavan? When you go to Vrindavan, she is standing here very much. And we are circumambulating her. We are bowing down to her lotus feet. So she is a mother. In fact, she is so powerful that she can make a big quarrel between Radha and Krishna subside. She can again make the relationship of Radha and Krishna sweet. Can you imagine how powerful she is? What to speak of awarding devotion to devotees of Radha and Krishna. And we are circumambulating her and telling her, you know, crores of sinful activities like killing of a cow, killing of a brahmana, those things will be finished by circumambulating Tulasi and watering her. So, conscious awareness of Krishna's compassionate nature is very important for us to become attracted to Him. When Uddhava heard this, Uddhava's heart is melting with great feeling when he is hearing Kamva Dayalam Sharanam Brajema. Shukadeva Goswami was impersonalist and his heart melted when he heard the recitation of Krishna's compassionate nature. And if our heart is not melting, we are not applying in our heart. We are not becoming attracted to Krishna because we have our own program in this world. So, Krishna consciousness, that's why Prabhupada gave the name of the moment as Krishna consciousness, yeah. It's not a Krishna's ritual moment. Only you perform the ritual, you don't feel melted, you don't feel moved when you hear about Krishna's glories. Especially in Nectar of Devotion book, Prabhupada said this is a law book of ISKCON, he said. Law book of ISKCON means just like a lawyer carries the book very proudly. And he quotes from the law book. Like that we are supposed to read the Nectar of Devotion, which will help us to understand the characteristics and nature of Krishna. And by hearing it, within a heart of hearts we develop attraction. And then that attraction will manifest when we perform our devotional activities. Then it is called as loving devotional service. Bowing down to Krishna, chanting, remembering Bhakti Dhir Damodar Maharaj told us that we should chant Guru's mantra and Prabhupada mantra. Every day when we bow down, we should remember Him because He is such a bold and sincere Vaishnava. He is instructing us, do this. Bhaktisiddhanta says, if someone flatters you, is your enemy. So, He is following that rule very nicely. By telling us, He said, I am very sure, He told me, everyone comes here will flatter you and go. Many will praise and go. Many people, Vaishnava generally don't talk about correction, but He gave some correction. And only when we hear such good instructions and apply them in our life, there is a possibility of transformation of heart. And the chanting of the Holy Name will take effect only when Tadashma Saram Hridayam Patedam Nagrihyamani Harinamadeyar, that verse says, actually approaching chanting of the Holy Name is very difficult directly. But if you hear these good instructions and apply them, then when the heart is growing gradually, then chanting will become better. Haranam Prabhu ki.